Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out for our children's Sunday school program. We're going to sing a few songs. The kids will have a play with a short little message with special music by one of our brothers here, David, and a luncheon. So stick around for the lunch. Don't just take off. There's stuff downstairs, little treats. We appreciate these kids working real hard on this little play they're doing. There's a red hymn book in front of you in the pocket. Just grab it. We're going to sing a Christmas song. We'll start with 144, Joy to the World. 144 in the red book. Everybody sing it out.
Thank you.
for our kids in the back. We'll sit back here.
By God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her,
"Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among all women. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. For of his kingdom there is no end."
Then said Mary to the angel,
"How can this be since I am not Lord there? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of God will overshadow you. Also, that Holy One who is to be born in Bethlehem will be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing is impossible.
Behold, the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
To Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin which will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Then Joseph, being arose from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him to his wife. Augustus, that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to be arrested. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay. when they were in the same country, shepherds looking out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were greatly afraid.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.
And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another,
"Let us now go to Bethlehem, this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us."
By the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said,
"Go carefully search for him and bring back your word, so I may worship him."
When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Or an infant when the wise men came, he is the King of Kings.
is the King of the universe. And so this song just captures some of those thoughts, and I hope you enjoy them.
Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday? And who would have thought this little child could make a blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free? Oh, who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said would take away the sins of men and rise up from the dead?
Diamond in the D, and it's your support that helps us. So thank you for that. We have a kids club on Wednesday. We feed them. We bus them in. We take them back home. We have Sunday school. So spread the good news about this little place. We're trying to do the work here for meaning and purpose for these kids as they move on. And come join us, too, on our 11 o'clock services here on Sundays for good preaching, good teaching here. We thank you. We're going to have a little lunch afterwards. We want to give a big round of applause to our Sunday school kids. October. It's a long time. It's a lot more work than you might think. We've been practicing every week for this play, and I love the beginning. I love the preparation and getting the costumes ready and cutting up the bed sheets. And I love the actual performance of it. The kids did such a fantastic job. People remember their lines. We even had a bit of a crisis where an angel didn't show up, but Isaac was able to pinch hit and did a great job. And it's wonderful to see them deliver those lines. Amen. But the beginning is great, the middle is great, but the best part, the favorite part, is the end. When it's all over, no more lines to learn and nothing else to do but to eat the food downstairs. So I'm speaking as one who doesn't normally clean up, so there's still more work to be done even after that. So, again, thank you for coming out here and for letting your kids be part of this. It really is a privilege. Not only am I the Sunday school superintendent, teacher, my name is Bruce, by the way. If you've ever heard the name Mr. Bruce, that's me. Bruce is just my first name. And I do a lot of work with the kids here. I also had two kids who were part of the program this year. That was the first time for me. And just like it's nice to go through the whole regalia of having kids go through the program, in the same way it's nice as a parent to have your kids go through all the ups and downs of Christmas, it's especially nice for it to be December 26th, for it to be done. You try to do all the things that you want to do for your kids, and you can go through the season saying, well, did we see the Grinch? Well, did we do caroling? Did we see the lights? Did we do all the stuff? It's easy to go through all the lists and to actually miss the most important part about Christmas. In fact, Christmas is a great time of year because inherent in it, there's an invitation to engage in the most important of all of life's activities. It's easy to get caught up in all the stuff and to not set aside time in the quiet to do the greatest thing, really, that any human being could ever do. I'm convinced that the most important, the highest and noblest of all activities that one human being could ever do is to think about Jesus. It is that and that alone which can change someone's eternity, which can revolutionize a life and completely change your outlook on the world. That's what Christmas invites us to, and it's that so easily gets missed.
In a sense, the person of Jesus is so easily overlooked, isn't he? There's so many other things that flash and twinkle and grab our attention. It's hard to think about this person who was born in Palestine 2,000 years ago, in the middle of Nowheresville, to two poor peasants, in questionable circumstances, despised and ridiculed, but yet in a very real sense, one among millions. But he's the person that we absolutely have to think about. Now, the reason we have to think about him is not because it's important to think about all babies, because all babies are pure and precious, and even the poorest and most humblest deserve our admiration. Now that's true. Every single human being is made in God's image and therefore has incredible value and dignity. But this person stands unique and demands our attention. So my admonition to you, whether you are three, I have a three-year-old here somewhere. I'm assuming she's safe. She's here somewhere. I have a three-year-old, whether you're three or you are 83, my warning to you is don't miss Jesus. Don't forget to think seriously about him. Whether you're prompted just by the songs that you may know, or the play that you just watched, or best of all, you have an open Bible in front of you. If you're not familiar with the Bible, I would suggest the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. But if you are familiar with the Bible, why not go through some of the Old Testament and see how it predicts him? But whatever your situation, make sure that you spend time on your Christmas break. Find time, make it, to think about Jesus. We were put so beautifully by the angel Gabriel, our own Isaac, when he appeared to Mary. Why do we need to think about him? He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Israel, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Is that all right? Okay, good. That's what he says. Or you think of when the Magi, the wise men, come and they say, "Where is he that has been born, the King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." He is a new ruler. As we heard some, he is the new king, the King of Kings. He is the hope of the world, the hope of the ages. We need to think about Jesus because he's like that star above the house in Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah said, and this is quoted in Matthew, "Those sitting in darkness have seen a great light." He is the great king over the earth, and that's good news because the world is out of control. The world is broken and ruined. Again, with that prophet Isaiah, his words critiquing the society and the culture of his day still ring true in 2016. When he described it, "Justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails." The world is sick with injustice and cruelty. It's true today as it was back then. We sang Silent Night. And some people might get the impression from singing that song that if we were to go back to the days of Jesus, we would enter into a pure and quiet, peaceful time when everything was just simpler and easier. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We kind of cut the play short because As a director, you got to draw the line somewhere and say, okay, we're going to be done with the play there. But when King Herod finds out that the Magi have deceived him and they go a different way, he's so preoccupied with his own self-importance and preserving his own family lineage, when he hears this news that a newborn king has come, he gives the command for his soldiers to go and kill every baby boy in the city of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, and in all surrounding districts. I can hardly imagine what that would have been like. It was a cruel time then, and it's a dark time today as well. We are far from Eden. We are far from the way God has made things to be. People still get sick and die without reason or without cause, and it's unfair. What we need is the way Malachi described him, and I think we sang it earlier. I was busy making sure kids were all ready, but I think you sang this line earlier. What we need is the Messiah, the Son of Righteousness, to rise with healing in his wings. Did you sing that line?
Mm-hmm.
The Son of Righteousness to rise with healing in his wings. The hope of the world. It's one of the great things that happens when you spend time thinking about Jesus. There's something that happens in your soul when you will start to pray things like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You yearn for it and you long for it. Because you know that you can be filled with hope because your ultimate hope is set in this one who was a little baby, that he is the king who will set all things right. Now that doesn't mean you kind of take a step back and say, well, because Jesus is going to come and make the world right, let's just forget about trying. And just, you know, the world's ruined, just let it be. Just wait for Jesus. No, Christians are going to be disciples who walk in the footsteps of the Prince of Peace. But when things don't go our way and our plans fail, it means we don't give up in despair. Because our ultimate hope has never been in what we accomplish. How could the Christian's plan succeed without Jesus? Of course they couldn't. We need him here. He is the hope of the world. One day, he will come. It's easy. I like that song. How does it go? You hear the song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old. You can shake your head or not. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I love it when that song crescendos and it says, and then in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And this all happens by Jesus. He will come as the great king, and he will fix and destroy what's wrong with this world, the hatred and the disease and the death, because he will destroy the root cause of it all, the problem of sin. Well, now I've said it. I've done my best in my notes not mention that word until this point right here. Now, it's one thing to talk about the problem of the world that Jesus will come and fix, as if it's the problem that's out there. Those people. And he's going to come and he's going to fix them. And see yourself as the in-group, the good guys. But Jesus came to solve the problem of sin. And when you think about Jesus, that he came to fix this world, to make all things new, to fix the ruined world, you have to realize that you're a part of the world. And you're a part of the problem. You're a part of the reason the world is ruined. The Bible puts it so clearly. There's none righteous. No, not one. We all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way. We've all broken the greatest of commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And we've broken number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we're being open and honest before God, we must admit that the wrecking ball of God's judgment, which must have its place, if the old is going to be gone and the new is going to come, has to fall on us. Perhaps this sounds like bad news. If it doesn't, it's because you're not paying attention. This is bad news. But it's against this background that the words of Griffin, I meant the words of the angel of the Lord, gain all their importance. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For those who have learned the lesson that they are a sinner, that they deserve God's judgment, that they are part of the problem, that the problem isn't just out there, that the problem is in here, this is fantastic news, and nothing could be sweeter to know that God is going to save you. There's nothing we can do to fix the problem in here. We can do little things to fix the problem out there. And we can do little things to make ourselves better and to break bad habits and to try to improve our ethics and to live a good life. But there's nothing we can do to take away sin. There's not one thing a person can do to give their guilty conscience peace. Just say, my sin is gone and I'm forgiven. Because I've done A, B, C, or X, Y, and Z. Now, if you know that, then thinking about Jesus is wonderful. And it all makes sense. But if you don't know that, thinking about Jesus is frustrating and hard and upsetting. And it's the same thing as it was back then when Jesus lived on this earth. Great. The great, mighty king, the redeemer, the warrior leader, the rescuer has come. Then you think about him, what's he doing? Being laid in a manger. If you just see the problem is out there, what's he doing? Living in despised Nazareth, the ghetto of Galilee. What's he doing spending all this time with prostitutes and sinners? How's he going to fix the problem out there? And most clearly of all, what is he doing hanging in torture on the cross? It doesn't make any sense if you just see the problem out there. But if you come to realize the problem is in here, that you're a sinner, and your sins need to be forgiven, then it all clicks. Thinking about him, the friend of sinners, becomes, well, it's bliss itself. It is water to your thirsty soul. It is to mine. I realize when I think about Jesus that he came for me. That's my story. I was lost, and Jesus found me. What's he doing? He's seeking and saving that which is lost. He's seeking and saving my soul. I had debt I could never pay. Because I had broken God's law, I am bad. And Jesus, when he died on that cross, he invited all the punishment, all the penalty for the sin of the world on himself. And when he died, he paid that price in full. Now the gates of heaven are open. And so now we can give that wonderful invitation. Whosoever will, may come. This is why he came. Not just to fix the problem out there, but in here. For God so loved the world, you know the verse? That he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he doesn't believe in the name of God's one and only Son. So my challenge to you is to spend time thinking about Jesus. If you have never come to know him as your Savior, if you've never believed in him, that is to say, you've never trusted in him, confided in him, put your faith in him, relied on him, counted on him, depended on him to take away your sin and give you eternal life, thinking about Jesus is the greatest thing you can ever do. I'm convinced that as you think about him, I can invite you to do it because I'm absolutely convinced that if you think about him with your Bible open and you read John or you read Mark, I'm convinced that you will be persuaded. You will see him full of grace and truth. You will be won over by his passionate holiness, by his intense dedication, by his profound wisdom, by his royal dignity, by his shocking humility, by his unconditional love. You'll become persuaded that he is the one who came to save your soul. That means it's time to be done. Let's hold our hand and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the opportunity to think about your Son, in whom is all your delight. He is the desire of nations, your word says. And he is the one that you sent to be the Savior of the world. And he's our only hope. Mm-hmm. This one that was born in such humility and lived in rejection and died as a curse, has been raised to life, immortal life, never to die again, conquering all the problems in the world. Be of good cheer, he said to the disciples on the night before his death. In this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And so, as we think about Christmas, Lord, we are on the brink of hope. We know that the world is broken and ruined. We know that we are broken and ruined, but we know who the answer is. We thank you for his unconditional promise to give eternal life to those who believe in him. And if there's anyone here who has never yet come to the place in their life, or just in all simplicity, they believe in Jesus, the free gift of salvation. Pray, Lord, that they would soften their hearts and they would come to Jesus all their time. Father, for those of us who have done that, we pray that we would never, ever stop thinking about him. He is what we need. He is your great rescue plan. We are satisfied with him. Thank you, Lord, for all the people who came out to watch this program, to see the kids say their lines. Thank you for the kids who put all their time into saying these lines and who have executed them so well. I thank you for the privilege of working with these families. We pray that they would feel home and welcome here. We pray that you would bless our time downstairs, that you would bless the food and all those who have worked on it. We pray most of all that in all we say and do and all that occupies our minds, that you would get the glory. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.